All right. Amen. Well, good morning. Now, the title of the sermon this morning is called The Solution to Fulfilling Your Dreams. The Solution to Fulfilling Your Dreams. Now, before you get all worked up, like, what are you talking about? You guys know that my sermon titles always have a catch to them, right? And so basically, that's what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to explain to you the catch of fulfilling your dreams. But we're going to talk about that here. Look down to verse number 23. You're in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 23. It says this, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." So what is Paul meaning here? What is he trying to say? He's saying that whatever it is you do, and who's the you here? Is it the whole world? No, it's the Bible-believing Christian. That is who Paul is talking to. He says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And obviously, you can see where I'm going with this, right? You're going to learn that this plays a big factor in our dreams as Bible-believing Christians. But what does that mean to do something heartily? Well, it means to do it with zeal, right? Above average. You see, you may not realize this, but as Christians, we are left zero room for mediocrity. We are not supposed to be average in anything that we do. You will not find that concept taught at all in the Bible, okay? In fact, look at verse number 24. He says this, knowing that, right? So knowing what we just read, he says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Now don't miss this, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So what people often just fail to understand is that when you're born again, you're saved. It, you know, whether you're going to church regularly or you're praying regularly, reading your Bible regularly, the Bible says that you serve Christ. It's not optional. He owns you. The Holy Ghost indwells you. You are saved forever. God looks at you as a servant, and there are certain standards and expectations that he has placed on the body of Christ. Not to keep your salvation. Remember, we don't preach the probation doctrine here, okay? That's what the world teaches. You're always going to be saved, but he wants more out of his children. Now look at verse 25. He says this, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." So no matter what your past is, and look, we all have a past of some sort of degree, right? We've all made some mistakes, or we're making mistakes right now, you know? And so God says, look, he's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to look at you and be like, oh, well, poor baby, because you went through this or you're going through this now, it's okay. I'm just going to give you a pass. None of these things apply to you. It doesn't work like that. You have to get over yourself, and you have to realize that he wants work done, okay? Now, you can leave your place there and go to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. So the solution to fulfilling your dreams, and so you probably already guessed it, if your dream is to be the next American Idol, if that's still a thing, you know, it's probably not going to happen. Or if it does, then guess what? You're probably going to suffer for it. If your, you know, your goal or your dream is to be the next Ninja Chef or whatever is on TV these days, man, I don't know. You know, guess what? I got bad news for you. It's not going to happen. And while you're turning to Proverbs chapter 4, if you were to read Colossians chapter 4, Paul gives an example of somebody who actually fulfills this. And his name's Epaphras. He's mentioned three times in the Bible. Now, it says this. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Colossians 4:12. Paul says this, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Now, you tell somebody at your work, or you tell somebody in your family, or somebody out in the community who doesn't really know you, and they say, hey, what are your goals in life? What are your dreams? And you say, well, my dream is that other churches and other believers would be successful and that they would be complete in God. You know what they're going to do? They're going to look at you like you're a two-headed monster. They're going to look at you like you're absolutely crazy. It's like, what do you mean? That's your dream? That's your goal? To get up in the morning and actually pray for people that you don't really work with every day, that you may not even fully know and understand? That's crazy. But you know what? We live by a different set of rules, the Bible says. You do not get to play like the world does if you're saved. Now, I'm just going to tell you a story. So yesterday we went soul winning in New Plymouth. And not terrible. Don't worry, Victor. We'll go back one of these days. It wasn't too bad. Pretty much like the rest of Idaho. But towards the end, Brother Jeff found the one person on the west side of town that was willing to be saved and got this person saved. And Jeff, he lived at a church, right?
It was an old Pentecostal church.
Yes. Okay, so he lived at like an old Pentecostal church. And I was just thinking about this, and you know, the family and I were talking about this. So this guy gets saved, right? And oftentimes we wonder what happens to people after we get them saved. Because a lot of times they just don't come to church, right? Or they'll go to a different church, or they move out of town, or whatever. They're just not interested, right? It happens, and you guys know that. But we're thinking like this guy who got saved yesterday, and he's just one of many that we get saved, but he has no idea. And this is the problem today. These people that get saved, they have no idea that they have now gone away. They have now stepped from underneath the world's rule and the world's standards and expectations and the course of the world under a whole new set of standards and expectations. And you know what often happens is they don't ever change their dreams. They still have the same dreams, the same goals, and the same, you know, issues in life. And they just keep working towards all of that stuff. And what winds up happening to them is they often get chastisement brought on them. You see, because it doesn't matter, oh, well, I didn't read the Bible. I didn't know. I didn't know I was supposed to be a servant. I didn't know that Christ expected more out of me now that I'm a king and a priest. You see, they don't learn that, and all of a sudden their lives go haywire. They start having all these bad things happen to them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is trying to correct them, trying to get them into the will of God, you know, and then their life, you know, just is just full of just all kinds of trouble and mischief. And then we go back and we see them later on, and they're just bitter and they're angry. And it's because they never took the time to study these things out. They kept ignoring, you know, that tug that the Holy Ghost does to you. And you all know that. You know what's right and wrong. The Bible says that God has written his law on our hearts. And if you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, I mean, it's going to happen to you. You're going to be told by the Holy Ghost, hey, don't do that. Don't say that. You know, you should go to church. You should serve me. And when we don't, what always happens? Chastisement every single time. You guys have seen that. When this church started, there were people that had these crazy dreams. I want to move out to the mountains in Montana, right? I want to move into an Amish community. You know, I want to be the CEO of my corporation. You know what? There's certain jobs that Christians just shouldn't have. You know, I know that offends people and that's not popular today. But you know what? Like I just said, we don't get to play by the same rules. And that's what Paul's trying to tell the Colossians here. He says, hey, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, the problem is that a lot of Christians never let go of their old dreams. They never let go of their old goals, right? And so what they wind up doing is trying to do everything to please man, right? Well, I got to get to the top because that's going to please men. It's going to please the people that I work with. And God looks down at you and he's like, what are you doing? Did they die on the cross for you? Right. Is that what you think a reasonable service is? To just ignore me, ignore my word, ignore everything that I say and do? And that's wrong. And that's why so many of the people that we wind up getting saved wind up in trouble and they just can't figure it out. Now, praise God, every once in a while we'll run into them and explain this to them and they're like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, the Bible says that God chastens his children. So if they really got saved and they're not living in his will, guess what? They will get chastened. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. It will happen. Now, does that mean that you come to church and you start serving God, you're not going to have any trouble? No. You're going to wind up having a lot of trouble. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your friends. You're going to go through all the same things that we see the disciples go through here. Okay. Now, look down at verse number 23. You're in Proverbs chapter 4. It says this. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Now, Proverbs chapter 4 is it's about wisdom. It's about mainly instruction. It's about the value of listening to training, listening and applying the things that other people teach you. Okay, and let me just throw out another disclaimer. I'm not saying it's wrong for Christians to have money. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to try to do better for yourself so that you can provide better for your family and so that you could bless other people. Don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying here is that we need to learn how to keep our hearts diligently, okay? And I'm just going to go ahead and give you part of the answer now to fulfilling your dreams. It rests on diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think about this. The Bible-believing Christian who just says, you know what? I don't want to guard my heart. Right? I'm backslidden. I'm whatever. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. You know what? The issues that will begin to flow out of those decisions, the issues that you're going to have in your life are going to be bad. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. So he says this. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. See, we live in a society today where people are like, you know what? Who are you to judge me? Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Who are you to tell me what to do? But the Bible says something drastically different, that we should take fast hold of instruction. And by the way, you guys that work at your jobs, you should learn your processes. You should learn from those who are above you, those who have more experience, and you should take fast hold of that instruction. Why? We'll look at the rest of the verse. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. I told you this last week, and I say this often. Training is very, very important to me, and it should be very, very important to all of us. You see, we live in a selfish society today where people are like, what about me, and what about my feelings, and what about my desires? But God says, hey, that's not how this thing works, especially if you're saved. You're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. You think this is Burger King? You can just have it your way? Right? Why do you think that those commercials are so popular? Like Albertsons, you know, it's up to you. Because that's what sells. That's what appeals to people. Jump down to verse number 19. It says this, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So why in the world are we going to run to people who do not believe in the Bible, who do not understand this instruction, to get, you know, taught the ways of life? There's an office right back here in this next hallway, and it's a counselor. I forgot what the name of it is, but we were kind of listening to them the other day, and just kind of realizing like how much money they make, you know, just by bringing kids. They're like, I guess it's like a children's counselor. You know, and there's people that line up here and sit down in these chairs during the week. They bring their kids in there that are having problems and stuff like that. And I'm not against you if you've gone to counselors, whatever. But I was just thinking to myself, you know, how much money are you paying that person there? When you could just come in here, learn the Bible, we'll give you one. We'll get you saved so that you can understand the thing and save yourself an entire fortune. Because guess what? That lady doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If she's had any success, it's all coincidence, which we're going to see here in a moment. But look what it says again. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And you know what? When believers decide, you know what? I'm going to live a wicked life. And it happens. And they're still saved. Okay. Look at Saul. We're studying about him on Sunday nights. Right? Why is he stumbling all over the place, making the dumbest decisions that you could possibly imagine? Because of this verse right here. Because the way of the wicked is darkness. So we should never, now you say, well, my boss is wicked, so I can't learn from him. You can still learn your trade from him. You can still learn your job from him. You can still behave yourself wisely, just like David did. Yeah. Now look at verse 20. He says this, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying. See, that's the heart of this chapter, taking hold of instruction and applying it. Remember, if you are not applying, you are dying. We see this all the time. He says this, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Say, well, I want to get healthy. I want to be physically healthy. Well, you know what? You can do that very clearly here in the scriptures by taking hold of instruction, making wise decisions, making better decisions, having fewer regrets, which in turn is going to be healthier for you. Because guess what? When we live in stress day after day, week after week, month after month, that takes a toll on your physical body. And Christians who just can't let go of these crazy dreams, I've got to build this empire, right? I got to move to the mountains. I've got to go to Montana. I've got to have, you know, a bunch of cattle like Abraham did. You know what? How many people are you going to get saved? You know, how much of the kingdom of God are you really going to bring to that community out there? Probably not a whole lot. And so what's eventually going to happen is you're going to be miserable and you're not going to know why. But I know why, because of verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. That's a wicked thing to say, you know what? I just want to toss the standards and the expectations that God has set for the Bible-believing Christian and just do whatever I want. Look, and you can do whatever you want, and you'll still be saved, okay? But you will have trouble. And you're probably going to wind up having a lot of health issues as a result of that. Now, verse 23, I just want to read all these just to give you context for verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so that is a big factor of what we're talking about today. Diligence. How well you fulfill your thoughts, your dreams, your goals, your ideas, really rests on how diligent you are. And that's what we're going to look at here. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 12. And so, you know, I'll tell you my own story. And I've told this before, but it applies. You know, I got saved when I was, 9 years old, Baptist church. You know, went to church for a while. You know, parents started realizing, oh, this is serious. We got to take you out. You know, we don't want you getting corrupted by those cult members. And you know how the story goes. So I just wound up, you know, going back to school, doing whatever, wound up getting married. And, you know, during that space of where I wasn't going to church, I started to develop these dreams. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to have the big house. I wanted to be somebody, right? Why did I want that? Because I wanted my parents to say, wow, you did better than I did. I wanted the other people, you know, that I worked with to look at me and say, wow, you're better than us. You know, you're really something special, man. I'm just telling you the truth, you know, and I worked my tail off. You know, I went to college. I got a decent sum of debt, which is, you know, almost gone. But, you know, and guess what? I never really used it. I used it like one time, you know. You know, the one job that required college for me, you know what that got me? It got me a job that was just barely above minimum wage. Right. But all the time I was working, people, oh man, no, he's got a job. You know, if you didn't go to college, you wouldn't get that job. And then I was like, you know what? This is retarded. I'm going to go work for the government and wound up making a lot more money. And I didn't even need that stupid college degree. So God showed me, hey, guess what? That was foolish. You know, you just wasted all that money. Well, as things go on, you know, I start to work hard. I start to do things right. You know, I start we start to go to church. We start to do all things and things start to fall into place. You know, I start getting all these promotions. You know, I get the big house that I want. We get the cars. We get all the stuff. You always got money, got everything. And then one day God gets a hold of me, you know, and I realize the church that we're going to sucks. They're not really doing anything for God. You know, they're just tap dancing around all the social issues that are going on today, placating everyone, not telling us what we really need to hear, not really reading it and believing it for what it says. Right. And I realize, man, what are we going to do now? You know, I mean, think about this church that we were going to. We got a house like right next to it. And we're like, now it's big enough that we can host family fellowships. Well, God's like, good luck with that. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, he starts to bring my thoughts, our family's thoughts, in line with his word. Next thing you know, I'm living in a trailer in Sacramento and going soul winning all the time. You know, it's great. You know, but all I'm trying to do is just tell you that when my dreams were things of the world, you know, God was like, uh-uh. I'm going to give you a little taste of that. I'm going to show you why you can't have that. You can't be like those other people out there. And all of us have gone through this. Everybody in here has probably got some kind of a goal. And look, that's great. You should have goals. You should try to do the best that you can at your job. You know, build a business. Do whatever you can. Amen. Praise God for all of that stuff. But just make sure that whatever it is doesn't conflict with what God expects from us, because you don't get to play by those rules and you're going to go down. He will bring his hand upon you. It just is what it is. It is the truth. And so Proverbs chapter 12, I want you to look at 24. And what we're going to see is we're going to see the reason why we need to be aware of this subject here. So verse 24 says this, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Who's ever worked with somebody who's lazy, or who has ever been lazy? Don't raise your hand. I'm just messing with you. We've all been lazy. We all go through it, right? But you all know that slothful person that you just can't trust, right? You ask them to do something. Hey, man, can you hand me that wrench right there? Can you hand me that box? And they're just like, oh, man. Or you go to Taco Bell over here on Overland and Cole, and you order four tacos, and they're just like, oh, is that it? And you go up there, and they hand you two. You're like, I ordered four. Oh, let me see the receipt. And they're just like, oh, it's just so hard. There's a reason why you're working at Taco Bell, right? commie. I'm serious. That's why. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Look, you can't be diligent enough to count four tacos. You can't do that. And you know what? That Chili's over there on Eagle is no different. There's a problem today, man. I'm serious. This is a big problem. We've ordered food there like four times in the past couple months, you know, because we keep having these, you know, people come over, whatever. And it's like there's always three things missing. Jessica orders, you know, the chips and salsa, which I like, you know. You know, we had Pastor Thompson and Miss Sherry over, you know, a couple Saturdays ago. We're like, well, we'll just go ahead and, you know, get them, you know, Chili's. And before they go to the airport, we take them off. And, you know, he's like, yeah, this will be great. I'm looking forward to chips and salsa. Get the three bags of chips, no salsa. No. Missing three. It wasn't that much food. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what's going on? Oh, yeah, there's a reason why you work at Chili's. And look, I'm not downplaying that stuff. But you know what? Those types of people are never going to go above and beyond that. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And I guarantee you, if you were to go hang out with those people who just, here's your food, and they're just breathing, I guarantee you, if you were to follow them home, you're going to find that they're under some serious, serious tribute. You ask them, like, what's going on? I don't know, man. I just got to go to work 5 days a week. I got to start my car. It's cold. Look, if that's your attitude, and sometimes I feel like that, you know what I mean? I don't even get into that, but, you know, we got to muster up some strength.
Yeah, that's right.
And some discipline. And just commit to being diligent. The Bible says that the diligent will stand before kings and not before mean men. If you ever get somebody at your work, or your kids are always in trouble, or, you know, you just run into somebody who's like, man, I just can't stay out of, you know, being in trouble. You know, talk to them about diligence. Have them slow down and make sure, hey, I don't know what you have to do. Maybe you have to write a checklist down of everything you got to do in the morning, everything you have to do at work, and manually check those things off. If that's what you have to do, then do it. But be diligent, be thorough. Because when you are diligent, when you are thorough, you know what? The only thing that's gonna happen is you're gonna work yourself out of your current situation, and you're no longer gonna be feeling like I'm stuck, I'm trapped here in this situation that I'm in. And you're going to wind up bearing rule. And the Bible says that you're a king and a priest if you're saved. It's automatically given to you.
That's right.
And guess what? There's a lot expected of kings and priests in the world. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. The solution to fulfilling your dreams. Look at verse number 4. Proverbs 10, look at verse 4. It says this. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. This applies secularly and this applies spiritually. Right? We wouldn't have two salvations for March if we were not a diligent church. If we did not decide, you know what, let's just go ahead and skip Boise today and actually broaden out and let's go try New Plymouth.
Yeah. All right.
Let's go scout Payette and Fruitland. Oh, that was just me because I went to the wrong place. But still, you know, be thankful in all things. But anyways, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. In other words, lazy hands lead to poverty. Laboring hands lead to promotion. You mind if I tell your story real quick about your side hustle?
Yeah.
Okay, I should have talked to you before, but I was busy with somebody else. So Briley, you know, he has visions. He has thoughts. He has goals in life. He had this idea, you know what? I want to make more time to get other things in my life done, you know, do more stuff to basically set up for his future, right? And he works a good job, and he makes good money. So does his sister. You know, they're doing very good. And he decided, you know what? I'm good at detailing vehicles. You know what? To detail a vehicle, you have to be diligent. You have to be thorough. You have to be able to look at something and say, that's not right. And you have to do a complete job. You have to do deep cleaning. I mean, that's got to be hard. I have to clean appliances after I'm done fixing them. I'm like, this is a nightmare. There's all these crevices, and how do you get this chrome to shine? I'm like, man, just get out of here, you know? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, he decided, you know, he had this thought. Who do you think established that thought for him? Right? Because he doesn't have this big, elaborate dream like, ah, oh, you know, I want to get up and be a CEO, you know, like someone else used to come here. Right? He leads the soul winning time on Wednesday, and him and his sister do the prayer list. Right? And so I believe that God put that thought in his mind, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and run with that. Yeah. I'm not just going to talk about that. I'm going to go ahead and take the steps to fulfill that, and now things are starting to go well for him. You know, he's getting business, and if he so chooses, you know, I believe that he could do that full time. And it would open up a schedule to do the other things that he wants to do for his future, you know, and he can still serve God and be a blessing to other people. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. But that's a dream where God could look at and say, I can still use that. Amen. The person who says, well, I want to be a plastic surgeon. Or I want to be a surgeon. Look, we need these people. We need lawyers. We need doctors. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that that's a good job for Christians. There's a better way to go about doing it. You can still make money. You can still be a blessing. You can still be diligent. You can still have those things if God is at the forefront of your mind. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter number 16. I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. We're going to come back to Proverbs like often. So lazy hands lead to poverty, laboring hands lead to promotion. That's just the law of the land. Now the world, does that work for the world? Sometimes, every once in a while. But what works better for the world is if you go up to your boss and find out what he likes. Oh, you like going to the club? So do I. Oh, you like watching filth? So do I. Oh, you like getting drunk all night? So do I. You like playing softball? So do I. You know what? That works. That works for the world. But it doesn't work for you. And it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for God's people. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. I want you to look at verse 11 real quick. I'm going to see some good wisdom here. Solomon says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, right after the book of Proverbs. It says this, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So Solomon's saying is, he's saying this, you wind up running into people and it just seems like they have it all put together. They've got a lot of money. They got a lot of cars. They're millionaires. They got an island down in Florida, right? And they look and they tell you, hey, you want to be like me? Buy my book. Buy my e-course, right? You can find this stuff all over YouTube. Buy my e-book. I'll tutor you. I will counsel you. There's millions. Listen to me. There are millions of these people out in the world today that want to sell you this get-rich-quick ideology. You use this verse right here to destroy them because it says time and chance happeneth to them all. That person was in the right place at the right time and it was a coincidence. He capitalized on it and wound up getting lucky. Yeah. And now he wants to instruct you. But the problem is he's wicked. The problem is a lot of these people are absolutely wicked. And what do we learn about the wicked in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19? What is their way? It's darkness. So you go ahead and you buy that program. You buy that ebook. Yeah. You subscribe to 2 years of counseling from these people. And at the end of it, you're still broke. Or maybe you made $100 extra. That's what happens when people go to these worldly counselors. If they have any success at all, you know what? All that is a result of time and chance that happened to them. And they just happened to say the right thing at the right time and it worked out. Because there's no wisdom outside of this book. That's what he's saying here. I was talking to a Marine several years ago. I was doing a job on a sub, and this Marine was telling me the story where they were working with the Army and they were clearing mines in Afghanistan. And you know, he said it's been boring for months. We haven't found anything. You know, we're just rolling on through the desert, over the mountains. And you know, the Army's always got these safety protocols. You better wear your seatbelt and this striker vehicle and all that stuff. This guy's like, look, I'm going to eat my lunch. And he was sitting on a cooler. He was eating a ham sandwich, believe it or not. He's eating a ham sandwich, right? Well, as he's eating the sandwich, you know, these people are like, you know, you need to buckle up. All the other guys in the vehicle are like, you need to buckle up and eat your sandwich. He's like, man, I don't care about that. The heck with that. Guess what happened? He drove over mine, and that Striker vehicle blew up in the air and flipped upside down. Guess what happened to that guy? Nothing. As that vehicle blew up and started to rotate, he was in the center of that rotation on his cooler, eating a ham sandwich. Visualize this slowly. And that vehicle came back down on all four or all eight tires, however many tires it has. He had a little scratch on his head and was bleeding. Everyone else who was buckled up got knocked out. Severe injuries. He gets up, he starts yelling at these guys, "You guys are weak. I told you these seatbelts are a joke, right? You guys suck. You guys are lazy." You know, just being a Marine, you know. And I was thinking about this verse, you know, because he's going around preaching, you know, seatbelts don't help. They don't say, you know, these safety protocols are weak. They're for people who just want to be little servants, right? That's kind of his attitude. But really, I look at this verse, "Nor yet favor to men of skill." It says, "But time and chance happens to them all." So this guy went through this event here and realized, you know, wow, man, I'm really something here. Because I defied instruction, I lived. But what he doesn't realize, like, look, you just got lucky. Yeah. It just blew in the right way and landed in the right way. Because what would have happened if it would have landed upside down? I mean, you know, or landed some other way. Or you landed on another mine or something. Or what would have happened if you would have gotten a head-on collision with another vehicle and it didn't go up in the air like that? You know, you would have been the one dead, and these in this, you know, that were in the seatbelt would have been the ones that would have been alive. You don't know. And that's exactly how the world is today. You got your people in this verse. He says, "Then I return and saw unto the sun." The race is not to the swift, right? So who's that fast Usain Bolt? God gave him those abilities. You know, not everybody in here can be Usain Bolt. Not everybody in here can get as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not everybody in here can be the UFC heavyweight champion. Right. Yep. You might be lightweight. It just depends. Not everybody in here can get super buff. Some people just don't have the genetics for that. There are people that are just born strong. And you know what? Time and chance happeneth to them all. But what happens is we look at those and we take those people and what they have done and we focus on that and we say, you know what? I want that. I want to be like that. And you start to dream that way. You see what I mean? Now you're no longer guarding your heart. You're no longer keeping your heart diligently. And what happens are the issues of life begin to go towards that. But because God didn't give you those same abilities, you wind up getting frustrated because you can't get to that level. Not everybody in here was designed to run that fast. Not everybody in here was designed with the skills to make millions. I'm just telling you the truth. These people that come up with these workout programs, you can have the 8-pack, and then once you get that, you can get the 12-pack. We can all get healthier, but you know what? Some people can't. Some people physically cannot. And you know what? These evil bastards know that. And they're getting rich off of selling you a fake dream. Yeah. That's what's going on. Yeah. Jump down to verse 13. So Solomon says this wisdom, so what we just learned, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. So now he's going to tell us about another part of that wisdom. Verse 14, there was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it. And built great bulwarks against it. So this little city is being taken over by a bigger city, and they're starting to fortify it. They're starting to lock them down. They're starting to make it so that they cannot escape. Verse 15, now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And so what that means is the solution to fulfilling your dreams not only requires diligence, but it requires you understanding that you may not get your name in the bright lights of the world today. You may not get popular. In fact, if you come to this church, you actually might get popular, but for the wrong for different reasons. And all that to say this, all of us can find ourselves in one or sometimes bouncing between one or two of three categories. There's people that have dreams and they talk about ideas and set goals like Riley did to fulfill those dreams. And then there's people that talk about events. right? Like the football games, the baseball games, the NBA, whatever. And that's all they can do. They can only talk about these events. And then there's a third group of people. And you can find this just by carefully reading the passage that we did. There's people that just talk about other people. Now, which one of those three groups of people do you think is going to actually fulfill their dreams? It's going to be the people that talk about ideas. The people that sit down and say, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think about this? You know, the Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. So before you get an idea or something in your head, you know, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a wise thing to come in here and just talk to other people about that. Hey, I've got this business idea. What do you think about it? That's what Riley did. So a lot of you've done. Hey, I've got this idea. What do you think about that? You know, because you never know what other experiences people have had, ups and downs, pros and cons, that you may not be aware of. So go to Proverbs 16. And we're going to talk about those three groups, and then we'll be done. And so the first one is what? Those people, this is the one that we should strive to be in. People that talk about ideas. People that talk about plans. And out of those discussions, set goals and actually put it into action. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 3. It says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So the solution to fulfilling your dreams is not only found in diligence, but it's also found in this right here for the Bible-believing Christians. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Lord, I have this idea. Pray about it. What do you think about this? You know what's going to happen? Look at the rest of the words after the comma there. And thy thoughts shall be established. So when you keep your heart with diligence and you say, you know what? I want to serve God. I realize that I'm saved. I'm born again. I don't get to play by the world's rules. I don't get to play by Uncle Sam's rules. You know what? God is going to begin to establish your thoughts. He is going to begin to fulfill things and give you thoughts, give you dreams in your heart that you can now implement into ideas and set goals and then put that into action. Because see, the solution to all this is different. See, the believer, you don't get to have the same dreams that they'd have. You just don't get to. This here needs, you need to remember this. This should be the, this, in fact, this is on the bulletin. I think everybody should memorize this verse. I think everybody should think about this verse often. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So many people, I've heard so many Christians say to me, I just can't figure out what the will of God is for my life. I just can't figure it out. Then they leave church Sunday, and they're like, man, I just can't wait to get in the NBA. I want to be an NHL player. And it's like, you're 5'2". You know what I mean? Maybe we should think about something different. You know, let's come up with a different goal. But why do they have that unrealistic, unachievable dream? Because they haven't committed their thought. They haven't committed their works to the Lord. That's why. Once you do that, he's going to give you the proper thoughts in your heart. Now go back to Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. So we're going to talk about this here. We're going to talk about the difference between dreams and ideas or goals, okay? Say, what in the world are you talking about here? I thought it was good to have dreams. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, look at verse number 7. It says this, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. We all have dreams. I'm talking about your little nighttime, sleepy time dreams. That's a different sermon. He says, in the multitude of dreams and many words. See, because a lot of people get around the table. A lot of people start talking. Oh, I have this dream, man. I'm going to go be a NASCAR driver. And it's like, you can't even park correctly out here in the lot. What are you talking about, man? Right? But what does Solomon tell us here? In the multitude of dreams, in many words, there are also diverse vanities. What does that mean? What does vanity mean? It's empty. No substance. You ever seen a vain person? What does a vain person do? Get in the mirror 5,000 times a day? Look at my beard line. Look at my hair. right? Look at my stomach, boy. Look at my biceps. You're weak. It's vain. But what does he contrast that with? He contrasts that with a statement. It says, but fear thou God. Yeah. Why does he say that? Why is that inserted into the verse there? Because if you commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thoughts will be established. And then you know what? You're going to have the right dreams. You're going to have the right thoughts. I don't want to call them dreams. I want to call them thoughts. Because the Bible says that he will establish your thoughts. Dreams in the context of this verse here, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, is the person sitting around just dreaming big. You know what? I wish I was like Bill Gates, where I could just eat, you know, soy beef and have a yacht that's as long as Boise. Right? It's vain. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his very own soul? Go to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. So dreams from a worldly perspective, okay, that's what we're talking about here, is vain. It's vanity, and it has no place in the life of the believer. But what about ideas? What about goals? Well, that's different here. 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse 13. Paul says this, very famous verse. We like this verse. Watch ye. Ye means all of you. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. This is lacking from today's society. Right. We don't have Christians today, by and large, that are watching. Yeah. Well, they're watching the news, all right, and getting packed with fear and liberal commie agendas. Stand fast in the faith. Does that sound like an option to you? Sounds like a goal. It sounds like an idea that needs to be implemented in the life of every single believer. Quit you like men and be strong. Grow some thick skin and realize, you know what? I'm saved. Because look, once you're saved, you ain't getting out. It's a done deal. Whether you like it or not, you're a servant of Christ. And the hand of God is going to come on your backside if you do not play by his rules. Go to Romans 12 real quick. Romans chapter 12. So again, what did Ecclesiastes say about dreams? They're vain. So you're better off just fearing God because he will establish your thoughts, right? What did Paul say to the Corinthians about work, about ideas? He said, watch. This is a commandment. Watch. Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That all that verse denotes is action, right? We don't sit around and say, man, I wish we were strong enough to go knock on someone's door and tell them the truth. And you might think I'm crazy, but I have heard that out of a pastor's mouth before. Seriously. In fact, you know how I got my mom saved before she died? It was from a pastor that had that attitude. Like, you know what? When I was younger, I went up to my pastor and said, you know what? Shouldn't we like take the Bible and like just go tell people the truth door to door? And that pastor told him, don't you tell me how to run my church. I'm going to do things the way that I want to do them. Right. And so what he did is he decided he was going to rebel and go get into apologetics. And that's the answer. Getting on the radio. Nothing wrong with that, right? We should get the truth out through the internet, the radio, whatever we can do, TV. I think we should put our sermons on that religious channel that they have. See how long that lasts. But I'll never forget this. He said, hey, if anybody in here, if you ever just want to get somebody saved, here's some verses that you could use. And so I opened up my Bible. And, wow, this is great. And I wrote them down in the back of my Bible. It was the Romans Road. Closed it. Never tried it until my mom had about 2 weeks left to live. And she was scared to death. Said, you know what? She said, I just feel like, you know, this whole Pope Catholic thing, there's something wrong with it. I think you might be right. I what does the Bible really say? Just tell me, right? That woke her up. And I used those verses and I got her saved. And I was like, wow, that worked. And I went to the church we were going to. Hey, I got my mom saved. Oh, really? That's great, little boy. Have you heard of Ray Comfort? Did she become a disciple? right? That's their attitude. If they don't become a disciple, well, then they're not saved. But what did that eventually lead to? Well, it eventually led to me being here right before you this morning. So Romans 12, look at verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. These are ideas. These are goals for the Christian. Don't be slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit. Just like Epaphras. Pray for other people. Put yourself aside. Humble yourself. Put other people before you. And you know what? God's going to begin to give you the thoughts, the ideas to actually fulfill your dreams, because now your dreams will be in line with what he wants from you. And so here's the bottom line. It's this. Dreams are free, but goals cost. Dreams, very simple. Dreams are free. This is what this whole sermon is built around. This statement. Dreams are free, but goals cost. See, if Riley would have just said, you know what, just kept talking about his dream, you know, talking about his idea, his thought, it wouldn't go anywhere. He'd still just be, you know, doing what he's doing. He's not doing bad now, but you get the point. You take these ideas, you take these thoughts, you pray about it, you get counsel, and you make goals. You come up with ideas. Okay, this is what I would like to do. Now, what's hindering me from actually doing that? And you discuss these ideas. This is the first group. This is the group that we want to be in. Yeah. In fact, this is why we went to New Plymouth the other day. Or yesterday. Because we want, and I believe that as a church, we are a group of people that doesn't just talk about events. We don't talk about the events of other churches. Oh, look at what they're doing down in Sacramento. And we do, and we love them, and we pray for them, and we'll join them and stuff, right? But we don't just sit here idle and be like, man, look at all the stuff they're doing. Look at all the stuff that's going on in Arizona. Look at all the stuff that's going on in Texas, right? No. What we do as a church, after the service, we brainstorm. Like, where can we go next? What do you think about Fruitland? What do you think about Payette? What do you think about Ontario? What do you think about Emmett? What do you think about following up with people, right? I walk through, you know, after service, and I hear all these conversations. And a lot of times it's you guys talking about ways to disciple people and to go out and tell them the truth and to help each other. And that's what I want to keep. That should always be the goal of this church. That first group, a group of people that talks about ideas and actually comes up with goals to implement those ideas. Dreams are free and goals cost. And this is why so many people in the world today, so many Christians can never fulfill their dreams. It's because they're lazy. And they realize, you know what, goals cost. I actually have to sit down and realize I can't get there right now. Because see, again, we live in a society that wants everything right now. The disease of now. Goals are going to cost you work. It's going to cost you some sweat. It's going to cost you some failures. It's going to cost you to have to rebound. It's going to cost you time, money, possibly effort, maybe a little bit of humiliation. But you know what? The end result's always going to be worth it. Because the Bible promises that the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful will be under tribute. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21. So as long as we've committed our works to the Lord, now we know, okay, our thoughts are going to be established. Now this is where this diligence thing comes into play. Because now we can diligently work and set goals to actually achieve those thoughts and achieve those dreams. Proverbs 21, look at verse 5. It says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. What does that mean? The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That's a promise. When you decide, you know what, I'm going to be a diligent person. You know what? You're going to commit your works to the Lord. He's going to give you the right thoughts. And you will carefully and thoughtfully and zealously work towards those goals. And you know what? It's going to be plenteous. This is a promise here. See, I need help. I don't like the situation that I'm in right now. Congratulations, because I have the answer for you. And it's right here. You need to be diligent in everything that you do. If you are assigned a task, you need to do that task to the best of your ability. You need to do it better than you think you can do it. And by the way, Christian, we're living in a society today to where it's not good enough any longer to dot your I's and cross your T's. Now you have to prove that you've even done that. The other day I was working on a refrigerator. I was defrosting it because it was all messed up. And I just had this feeling, and this hasn't happened to me before, but it was, I just kept getting this urge, like I needed to record myself doing this. You know, and I'm like, whatever, I got this new phone here, cool. See how the video works, I'll send it to Caden because he likes to see my appliance videos, or at least he lets me believe he does. Right? So I'm fixing this refrigerator, I got my steamer in the freezer, I'm defrosting it, I'm replacing a part, you know, and I got it all fixed up, put back together, I take a final picture of it, and it's on my personal phone. Send it to Caden, push it back, customer's happy. Guess what the next day? You get a phone call. Hey, that customer says you didn't do any of that work and her refrigerator's not cooling. What? That's weird. Did I put in a bad part? So the manager shows up to this person's house. He's like, we got to go take a look because she said they got water on the floor. This is bad. You've already caused a lot of damage in the past. Look, I'm still kind of new. Make mistakes. So we go in there and he's like, man, I can't figure out what's going on. Did you even replace the part? We're going to have to tear this whole thing down. I was like, wait a second. I recorded the whole thing. And he's looking at it and he's like, dang, man. And he starts getting mad. He's like, these stupid customers, man. Get there, the thing's perfectly frozen. The fridge is perfectly cool. She just wanted the thing for free. Figured if I complain, right? If I can just complain, look at the last of the verse. But everyone that is hasty to want, realize we're dealing with a hasty person. She didn't want to just accept the fact that her thing broke and she's got to pay for it. This is the mentality of a lot of people today. I want what I want now and I don't want to have to pay for it. Yeah. I took out student loans and I want Bernie to pay for them. Yeah. I mean, I want you all to pay for them. Yeah. I don't want to work. I want other people to give me what they have. And so I'm trying to tell you, you know, I work for a place and the boss is there, they're liberal people, commies. And they don't like me. And they're probably watching right now. And I don't care. So I'm trying to tell you, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous. So because I was diligent, I said, you know what? I know I fixed it. I just had this feeling, something's wrong here. I can't put my finger on it. I'm not sure like what's going on. Oh, and by the way, there was one of the teens in the house, a sodomite. Isn't that funny how that always works? People that hate God just get a sense. It's like you just walk in the room and it's just something about you they don't like. This is the condition that our world is headed towards. So I'm just trying to tell you guys at work, you need to be careful. Make sure you're doing the right thing and make sure if at all possible that you can even prove that. That is part of being diligent. That's very important today. Go to Proverbs 14. We'll move on here. And so the application is very simple. As long as we commit our thoughts to the Lord, right? We want to be that first group of people that I see in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that Solomon talked about. The person who's not worried about having their name in lights. The person who's just concerned with God's agenda and says, you know what? Lord, please just give me some wisdom. You know, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what that guy did who rescued that whole city with his wisdom. The Bible doesn't even give us his name. But yet we can learn from his actions. You know, that's the idea here. Be that person that says, you know what, I'm going to take my thoughts, take these ideas, I'm going to sit around, I'm going to discuss these things and work diligently. Make goals. Work towards those things. Now here's the second group of people. Remember I said we can all find ourselves, and we've all been in all these groups. A lot of times we tend to be between number one and two, right? Sometimes we fall into number three. We're human. Look, you got the old man. You're gonna dip. You're gonna have your time in all three of these things. Just the way it is. But number two, the second group of people. This is who we don't want to be. The people that just talk about events. People that just want to talk and focus about events are their own worst enemy. I'm gonna show you why. Proverbs 14. Look at verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. This is not optional. You can go back to the Hebrew and guess what? It says the same thing. In all labor. What's labor? Work. What is in all work? Profit. In all labor, there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What is that? That's poverty. That's the opposite of profit. That's what we don't want. Okay? That is what we do not want. But what leads to penury? Flapping them lips. Talk is cheap. Dreams are free. Goals cost. There is profit in all labor. And so that's why I'm telling you, this second group here, there are people who talk about ideas and implement ideas, and then there are people who just talk about events and implement ways to go to these events. And that's their life. And they can't figure out, why can't I do more? Why? What is it? Why do I keep feeling like I'm hitting a brick wall in my life all the time? It's because of this verse right here. Talk is cheap. People sit around all the time, talk about what they want to do. I want to be a great soul winner. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great kid. Hopefully that's what they're saying, right? We'd like to think that's what they're saying. I don't know. You could talk about it all day long. And if that's all you ever do is talk, it's going to lead you to poverty. You say, well, I got money, man. Yeah, time and chance happeneth to them all. Congratulations. You were in the right place at the right time and you got some money. But if you want to fulfill that dream that you keep running your mouth about, you need to turn that talk into steps. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 again. Proverbs chapter 12. We're getting close to being done here. Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 27. The slothful man, Proverbs 12, 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Did you notice something about the slothful guy? He actually went hunting. Right? He's a real hunter.
Yeah.
If anybody's confused, see me after the service. I'll explain it to you. But this guy actually went hunting. But did he cook what he caught?
No.
He got back, and he wound up having the same attitude these people at Taco Bell over here on Overland and Cole have. And these clowns down at Chili's that won't give you your salsa. Still mad about that, man. It's ridiculous. He's like, man, oh, I caught this rabbit in a snare. Right? Comes home, throws it in the freezer. Like, ah, oh, I'll just go to Taco Bell over here. Man, heck, I ain't cooking that up. It's because their view. You see what I mean? They don't understand that there's profit in all labor. They're hasty in spirit, meaning they want everything now. Because dreams are free and goals cost. I don't want to put forth that effort. I don't want to put forth that work. You want me to sweat? You want me to take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years to learn this stuff? You want me to read the Bible 10 times before I could even be considered for the ministry? You're insane. And by the way, after I finished my 10th time, I felt like I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'm over 20 now, and I'm like, man, I know I've read that verse before, but I didn't know it said that. I forgot he actually went hunting. Nimrod. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. So when you become diligent, you know, any little progress that you get, any little profit that you earn, you're going to see that as precious, and you're going to use that for motivation to continue on fulfilling your dreams, because your dreams are in lockstep with the thoughts that God gave you.
Amen.
Number three, here's the third group. And this is the one we want to be weary of. We want to make sure that we don't spend time here. And that's the group that has people that just talk about other people. Kind of like false Nimrod, who used to attend here. Yeah. And his curly-haired, lemon-loving friend. Just love to talk. And Slick Rick. Yeah. Right? Just love to run his mouth. Oh, did you know Pastor Jones is only in this for the money? Well, where's my check? See, those people, you know what they couldn't understand? Well, we went soul winning. Yeah, but you never actually cooked anything. You know what I mean? You never applied yourself. All you could ever do is talk about moving to the mountains, moving in with the Amish, going back to San Diego, and being Peter Pan in a Hollywood production. I just really like Peter Pan peanut butter. Ain't that what the kid said? Yeah. Now he's making the most bizarre videos that would make anybody, any man in here, any woman in here puke. Yeah. How do you get to that point? James 4, look at verse 11. Speak not evil one of another. This is not talking about the believer calling out people who are wicked or false prophets. We have full authorization to do that according to the word of God. James is simply saying, hey, you know, when you assemble yourselves together, you go to a church, you know, you shouldn't speak evil. And the word evil in the Bible means hurt. And God does do evil. That's what the Bible says. He does hurt people. But he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. So who are we talking? Who is he talking to? He's talking to the saved. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. All that to say this, people that spend their time talking about other people are never going to fulfill their dreams because all they can think about is what other people are doing and what they're not doing well. People love to send me these messages. Hey, you mixed up Ahab and Ben-Hadad in that sermon. Hey, you know, the guy at the pool of Bethsaida, you misspoke about him. He wasn't blind. You actually said you instead of ye. You actually said show instead of shoe. See, there's a lot of people that like to talk and run their mouths and let me know of every little mistake that I make up here. I want to see you, pal. First of all, I want to know what church you go to. Yeah. And then I want to see you work 70 hours a week, take care of a dementia and Alzheimer's person who's out of his mind, and write 3 sermons a week. I would love to see you do that. Yeah, right. You go do that, and then you come to me, and we'll have a conversation. But that ain't going to happen because all you like to do is run your stupid mouth. Yeah, right. And all your dreams and all your thoughts are centered around bringing other people down because you are the person who lives out my bottom line. Dreams are free, right? You can sit as a keyboard ranger, keyboard team 6, right? Yeah. You're keyboard team 6, boy. And all you can do is sit at home and... Oh boy. Oh, he said shoe instead of show. Oh, he's not King James only. Because you don't have the guts. You don't have the gall to work towards anything. Didn't your mama teach you anything? Come down here, boy. I'll teach you something. Look at verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Here's what he's not saying. He's not saying if you see a brother backsliding, or you see a brother making some crazy decisions or saying something like, yea, hath God said that, you know, people at the door really have to believe in eternal security to be saved, that you shouldn't say anything to them, you should just throw caution to them, just be like, no, I'm not going to even bring that up. I don't want to judge a brother. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking like, hey, you see somebody working hard, you know, you shouldn't be like, hey, you should use this verse instead of that verse. Yeah. Because that's what I do, and I'm cool. Right. And I'm better than you because I listen to 80 sermons a week. How many times do you read the Bible? Whoa. Whoa, wait, what? What? Anyways. I know you're not reading the Bible because you're full of pride. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Look, when we sit around and we just judge every little thing that every person's doing inside the church, that really doesn't matter. So what if one person wants to use this verse versus that verse? One person wants to go soul winning once a week. One person wants to go five times a week. You sit around, you suck. I go five times a week. You only go three? You should step down. You're not qualified. Again, work 70 hours a week and go ahead and try to preach three times a week. And try to raise a family. Try to be a husband. Try to be a father. See, that's what I don't see keyboard team six doing. How many kids you got? You got teenagers? You got little ones? You got a wife? You got a husband? You got a job? Do you have a church? You ever just read like one chapter of the Bible? It's disgusting. But this is where we don't want to be. See, there's three groups of people that we're going to find ourselves in. People that have their thoughts and they turn them into ideas, goals, realize the cost, right? They count the cost and they go ahead and they implement that stuff and they try it and they do it. And then there's people that just talk about events. All they want to talk about is the events going on in the world and the people of those. Oh, look at, you know, these basketball. Look at LeBron James. He's so great. Man, I'm really, you know, I've got a plan to get to the NBA. Should probably be over 5 feet tall, man. I'm just kidding. So we're going to wrap this thing up, right? And, of course, the third group. Those that just talk. They're people that just talk about other people. Now, which one of those groups has the people or has the most people that are fulfilling their dreams, their thoughts? The first group, the people that say, you know what? I'm going to commit my ways to the Lord so that he can establish my thoughts. And then I'm going to diligently check myself. Right? See, this is what I do because I work on appliances. So I show up to somebody's house whose dryer is not heating. So I walk in, I have a hypothesis, right? Saying, well, I bet the heating element, the most common thing, I bet that's what's wrong. Now what I do is I go there and I try to prove or disprove that theory that I have through various tests. That's what we need to do as believers. Right? Hey, I've got this thought. I've got this idea. I've got this dream, if you will. Right? You need to search the scriptures. Talk to other people. Bring other people into your world. Quit being so proud and verify that that is a good thing to do. And God's going to lead you in all that. You know, and sometimes I find out it is the element. Sometimes I find out some whack thing in the wall that I can't even fix. It just depends. And so we're going to wrap this thing up. So again, the first thing I said, you know, we need to realize that as believers, we can only fulfill our dreams if they're in harmony with God's will. Because we don't get to have the same dreams that the world does. We just don't. You say, well, what if I never go to church? It doesn't matter. If you are saved, you do not get to play by their dream book. It's not going to happen. God will not let that happen. And this is what happens to so many people out there that we go and get saved. They're like, man, my life is in shambles right now. Things are not going well. Yeah, I tell you why. Because your thoughts have not been established. You took the grace and you ran. And so this is why, and this is another reason why, you know, I want to follow up with as many people that are willing. Because I want to let them know, hey, now that you're saved, there's some danger coming your way. And that danger is not just going to come from your family, friends, your coworkers. That stuff happens to us all. But that new danger comes from God. And he's going to chasten you, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not. It doesn't matter. You are a servant of the Lord. He has standards. He has expectations for you. And if you don't get in line, unfortunately, he's going to bring the hand on you. And so we need to be diligent in pursuing these goals. But the main thing, if you just remember one thing, you just remember this, you'll remember everything I said. Dreams are free and goals cost. If you can accept that, you can understand that, you'll be doing all right. I mean, think about this. We're doing this right now. We need to keep doing this. When we get new people to come in here, we need to make sure that we bring them on board with this and tell them, hey, you know, those dreams that you have, man, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea that you work real hard now so that you can move into the mountains and never be seen from, you know, and be off the grid. Sounds great. Sounds wonderful. For the non-believer. Because what about all these people that are dying and going to hell and that are turning their lives into a living hell out here? What about them? Who's going to help them out? I don't see too many other churches out there going to places like New Plymouth, Emmett, right down the street here where Skulk likes to hang out. And you all know why he likes to go down there. He's our auditor. Skulk is the church auditor, and that's next week's sermon. But our goal is to be in that first category. Right? We don't want to be the people that are described as always talking about other people or always talking about events. Because those people don't understand that dreams are free. You can dream all day long. Right? And you can even stretch them out. You can add to them. You know, last week I dreamt about being in the NBA. Now this week I want to be in the NBA and I want to own 3 basketball teams. The reason why I'm saying this is because I know somebody who's got that goal. Don't go here. Hopefully you're watching and you wake up.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for you. Dreams are free, but goals cost. You just remember that. You're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to be able to reach more people. Right? The reason why we have all these thoughts and we're doing as good as we are, I mean, look, we just broke another record. You may not think it's a big deal, but I think it's a big deal when I see 22 people out soul winning during the week. That is awesome. That is great. People are hearing the truth in this community. People are getting taught the truth. You know, having over 30 people in all 3 services. This is great. I mean, just a year ago, we were like, man, we gonna have a church left? I'm not going to lie. I was thinking like, man, I might have to call Pastor Menes and, hey, I'm coming back, I guess. I don't know. I didn't do that. But, you know, those thoughts start to go through your mind when it's like, dude, how could there be this many bad people at the start of a church? People that are hell-bent on destroying the work of God here. It's crazy. But you know how we can turn the dream of, you know, filling this whole valley with God's doctrine? You know how we're going to do that? We're going to do that by being that first group. Group that commits our ways to the Lord, takes those thoughts, checks them, proves or disproves them, and goes out and gives it a shot and tries it and does it. And that's how we're going to have a stress-free life. You can be stress-free in the midst of all kinds of tribulation. You can have all kinds of people turn on you, say things about you, and you can hold your head up high just like the Apostle Paul did, just like David did, just like Peter did, just like so many great men in the Bible did, so many great women in the Bible did. All simply by realizing that dreams are free, but goals cost. And be willing to pay because there's profit in all labor. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again for being with us, Lord. And thank you for the soul that was saved yesterday out in New Plymouth, Lord. I just pray you'd bless the soul winning that's going on today. Be with us throughout the week, Lord. And we just continue to pray for everyone in our church, Lord, that we would always be diligent, do a thorough job at everything, Lord, whether it's our tasks in the morning, at work, Lord, reading the Bible and trying to be the Christian disciple that you would have us to be. And we thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.